Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Hello, it's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
And I'm Mark Edge.
And we're here with another week of law and order, law and disorder, UFOs, indictments, conspiracies, and that's just the first 5 minutes. Mark, how are you doing this week?
Hey, you know, I'm just happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad to be with you here. I wonder if anybody has made this their Friday night ritual to tune in and hear what we have to say. I mean, what is this, our third week?
Well, I think we're at the very least catching people on their way home from work on Fridays, or we're catching them out to whatever activities they may have on a Friday night. You know, a lot of people listen to their talk station during the week, and that just the car's still on that station when they hop back in.
Well, that's right. Well, on the West Coast, I'm an East Coast person, so on the West Coast, it's drive time.
That's true.
Heading home. So they've probably already got us on a routine. We give them that sense of security and knowledge and get them ready for the weekend with disturbing stories.
That's right.
But here on the East Coast, and of course around the world, but on the East Coast, it's 7 p.m., and under normal situations, people will be looking for a relaxation after a hard week of work. And instead, they probably decided that, we just have to stay home and listen to this on whatever we stream our audio on. That's how I see it. That's what I'm telling myself every week, though.
Yeah, that's the live show, but don't forget that many people listen. Some stations will play us a delayed broadcast, and then we have, a 250,000 downloads per week of the podcast, of which we're a part of. And so people are listening in a variety of ways.
Right, because we will do it on demand over and over again for you.
Right, just keep playing the same show.
You can just be like the 3-year-old that says, again, and we will do it, just like a devoted parent, until we smack you on the butt.
it's good that kids do that, because they learn. Repetition, makes people learn, but I think with a radio program, I'd rather just listen to the new one.
Well, you know who's a devoted parent is Joe Biden, at least. I'm going to say that today. Because in the news this week, we had what some people might consider big news, and almost historical news in one case, because former President Trump, he hit the trifecta of indictments.
Yep.
This week. I mean, and this was the big one. This was the conspiracy to overthrow the government. I'm shorthanding that. I've got the details. We'll explain what the three counts are, or four counts are, in that indictment. But Hunter Biden associate, Devon Archer. Is it Devon or Devon? Do you know? It's spelled like Devon, but I thought I heard people saying it Devon in the news. But
I'd go with Devon.
Okay, we'll go with that. I probably, you really shouldn't, I shouldn't advertise my ignorance. I pronounced it with authority and let other people think they were wrong if it didn't agree with how they hear it in their mind.
We're certainly not going to have them on an ask.
Not tonight. he may be making the rounds before long. Anyway, House Oversight Committee investigates UFOs. That was a global story for the past several days, and that started last week, but it's been continuing. And we have a special guest, Dennis Mitch-Maley, to help us with that. CDC detects coronavirus, HIV, hepatitis, and herpes at an unlicensed California lab, and we'll save the details for later, but just imagine, have you you've ever rented a storage area? The storage places are all over this part of Florida, and I know it's a national thing. The storage companies are big stock performers. They're very investable, and a lot of people have put their money into storage companies.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense when you think about what it costs per square foot for your house. I mean, home prices keep going up and up. And I presume that the rent on storage units keeps going up, 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 too.
Yeah, and it's a lot less. But, you know, I had a friend, and he would go, and I imagine they still do stuff like this. When someone disappears, and the owner of the storage facility can't find them, what do they have left to do except
sell it?
You know, where are they going to put the stuff? Well, they got a place to put the stuff. They need to empty the stuff to put other people's stuff in the place with the stuff. So they auction off the whatever is in the storage spaces. And, you know, they can throw the sliding door up and people can look around, but they're usually packed, you know, to the gills. And the potential bidders, you know, they can sort of poke their head in, but it's basically a crapshoot. And you just, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe it opens up and you see a car or something and they know that, well, that's got value. Or sometimes you may just be hoping you're going to find that amazing Fantasy 15 with the U.S. Spider-Man in one of the boxes, which probably doesn't happen very often, but there's always that hope. So he would go around and he would make these bids and of course lowballed everything. Can you imagine you finally get in it, you go to take possession and you know you're expecting to find old photos of grandma and maybe some records or different things that might have some value and you get vials, thousands of vials of coronavirus and HIV and you know the average person would probably if it's not labeled because a lot of them were unlabeled, would open them up.
Right. What's in here?
So, all right, well, we'll explore that. That's probably going to come much later in the show because we have important things to talk about. Anything else happening in your week, Mark?
Well, I see that Vince McMahon, the WWE guy, he has been indicted. They're not indicted. He's been investigated. I got a story. He's got legal problems. How's that?
He's buddies with Trump, so they're both very competitive. So Vince McMahon was indicted decades ago. I don't have the details in front of me, but it was basically around the steroid era of the WWE.
Mm.
And he,
I'm sure they don't do that now.
He stepped away from management of the company at that time, and he got through that, and he's. Of course, he came back and just had the merger between WWE and UFC and looked to be on top of the world. And, you know, just when you think that you're on top of everything, something like this happens. But have you seen Vince McMahon since he's redone his look?
I don't know whether I've seen him. There's a picture in the article, but it doesn't have a date on the picture. Okay. And he is
Let me describe how he looks today, and you can tell me if that was the picture you saw. Do you remember Dudley Do-Right cartoon and the villain Snidely Whiplash?
Yeah.
Okay. And Snidely Whiplash was
top hat, top hat, big handlebar mustache.
Yeah, every old silent movie villain. Vince McMahon is like 70-something.
Yeah.
And it's not the early 70s. It's getting in the mid-70s at least.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I had seen him before the merger was before he stepped away over the sexual, I don't know if it was considered sexual harassment, but let's say sexual misconduct.
Allegations.
With employees that were not, it wasn't something that the CEO of a publicly traded company wants to be linked with. I'm not saying they don't do it, but they like to sort of have a hands-off posture on those kind of things, literally. And but before that, last time he was on camera for the WWE audience, I think he wrestled at two WrestleManias ago. And even for a 70-year-old man, he was jacked up. Not smooth like he used to, but he wore the black tank top like he had the habit of, and big chest, big biceps, thinning hair, had not the face of an old man, but, you know, he was showing his age. Well, so he disappears, and he steps away from the company. Oh, I'm, you know, the board of directors have suggested I leave because of the problems that we're having over these claims about the sexual relationships, and I'm not coming back. Well, that was until he got the offer, that I don't know how many billions it was worth, to merge with the UFC. And he makes his appearance on CNBC, so I'm looking, ready to see the old Vince McMahon, and where he had had, you know, some graying hair.
Yeah. He kind of had a salt and pepper look going.
Shoe polished black hair. Like you just took axle grease or something and just rubbed it through your hair. And then a super pencil thin mustache. If I knew we were going to talk about this, I'd have the Jimmy Buffett chorus of the song Pencil Thin Mustache.
But I'm looking at pictures of him, and he must have had some kind of surgery, plastic surgery or something, because he just simply doesn't look like him anymore. He doesn't look like Vince McMahon with a pencil-thin mustache and, you know, dyed hair. He looks like somebody else.
He looks like he's ready to tie somebody to the railroad tracks. And you'd have to have the cultural reference to know those old
I think everybody's
silent movie tropes. Yeah. Yes. Or Dudley Do Right tropes, whichever. But you know, I guess who knows what we will look like when we're that age. You'll find out for me sooner than for you.
Well, yes, you're a little ways ahead of me.
Yeah, everybody's nice to recapture their youth in different ways. And you know, what does politics do to your youthful attitudes and stuff? Well, there's a congresswoman, Nancy Mace from South Carolina. I've been dying to play this audio all week.
Yep.
Since I first heard it. Now, Tim Scott is the Republican in the Republican primary field for the next presidential nomination. He's a black senator. He may be the only black Republican senator in the Senate. And comes from
There's only 100 senators, and few of them are black, and probably about half of them are Republicans. So I would agree that the chances of there being a second black Republican senator.
He did fill a vacancy, I believe, originally, but he has been reelected, so the people of South Carolina are on board with him now. And Nancy Mace is a very attractive Republican congresswoman. I hope it's not sexist to compliment someone like that, but I'm
it's not on this show.
Yeah, she's 45 years old, divorcee. I imagine relatively, she has children, but they probably are in their teenage years or maybe fully grown, just considering the age. And she's currently engaged. And she was doing some opening comments at Tim Scott's prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. And, you know, if you're a successful politician in Washington, D.C., it's especially on the Republican side, but on the Democratic side, too, depending on your constituency, a prayer breakfast gets you back in touch with your roots and your values and lets everybody see those. So Nancy Mace comes up to the podium to give the opening comments. Now, these aren't real long, but it's not what you would normally expect to hear at the prayer breakfast.
The advice, and then I end up paying for it when I don't take the advice. But I want to thank you for pulling this together. Another year, another standing room only event. And when I woke up this morning at 7, I was getting picked up at 7:45. Patrick, my fiancé, tried to pull me by my waist over this morning in bed, and I was like, no, baby, we don't have time for that this morning. I got to get to the prayer breakfast, and I got to be on time, and a little TMI, but you can wait. I'll see him later tonight. But I was here early today for you, Tim, and I think everybody was here early for you today, and I think that's a true testament to your leadership, to your faith, and your ability to bring people together and unify our country, because our country is so divided right now. one of my kids, my oldest, just had his car broken in.
So let's just parse that out a little bit, Mark. You're at the prayer breakfast, and you're about 10.
Which, by the way, I have never been to a prayer breakfast and don't know exactly what I'm getting, but I imagine you've got some very faithful, religiously and socially conservative people there who are prepared to have some, you know, sweet and savories. And that kind of talk, like the, hey, I'm going to have I'm having premarital sex with my fiance, is strange.
Well, when you said the sweet and savories at the prayer breakfast, I was thinking, maybe you were thinking of something else.
I was alluding.
Is that what most breakfasts are? You looking for sweet and savories?
Well, I'm just thinking about, pancakes. You know, they're parading around as food when in fact they're just desserts.
With a little whipped cream smiley face on it?
That's right.
Yeah, that would be sweet and savory. Well, yeah, if we go into this, and the very first thing is, I wake up next to my fiance.
Right.
By definition there, you're not in bed with your husband. Mm-hmm. He reaches over around my waist to pull me towards him.
Yeah.
Which sounds more like a Harlequin novel or something. Right. And then, no, I'm going to be late for the prayer breakfast. And the part you don't hear is, and just wait till I tell everybody about what you're trying to do with me before the prayer breakfast, and I point you out in the crowd, which he had just done.
Oh, my.
Yes. And then goes on to say, I'll take care of you later tonight. You didn't know this part, but I just stumbled on a Hannity clip of hers, because somehow Google and all the things that are tracking me in my computer thought I would want to see this, because I wasn't searching for Hannity and Nancy Mace, but it happened to be him playing this clip to her while she was live on his show. She comes from a moderate district in South Carolina. Maybe she feels she can be a little more open for her constituency. But he's like, he goes, well, he's going to be waiting a little bit longer because you're not going to be out of this show until almost midnight. And she had to sit there with the headshot of her close up for the national audience, but she had a smile on her face. She seems like a very,
I suppose if you have, I mean, I would call this pretty, she did say TMI, and that's what it is, right? Like, this is, an extrovert
information.
Yeah, rambling on, like, what was the scenario? I don't know. I suppose it's true. I would not call it evil. It's just amusing, you know? And she's just got to power through now. She can't take it back, so she's just got to power through.
Mark, you said you've never been to a prayer breakfast, but I think you can take away a little bit of advice from this, because if you are invited to a prayer breakfast, you need to come early or just don't come at all. Oh, get your Uber indeed. Right or whatever.
She was very, very careful about arriving early, indeed.
She actually she's probably a rising star in the Republican Party, I would think. Very personable. We're going to hear her a little bit later in the show. She's on the House Oversight Committee, and she is questioning the UFO whistleblower and something we'll play for the audience later. But maybe she does need a little bit better filter, because I saw other clips of her in the same time period, news cycle, where the National Defense Authorization Act passed. And she voted for
I'm never a fan of that thing. Yeah. It comes through, I think, every 2 years, because the Constitution's written so that we don't have a standing army. So they have to pass a new law every year to maintain the standing army.
Yes.
Or every other year or whatever.
Well, and in this case, usually it's not – the controversy usually is about what's actually in the defense authorization as opposed to culture war amendments that get put on it. It's like the defense authorization is sort of like the farm bill. There's so much constituent need in both of those that it behooves the Congress people to, like, shove that pork out to the district.
Yes.
Or take your stand on something else. But on this particular bill this year, the House has, because the House is controlled by Republicans, and this will, all these things will be dropped off on the Senate version of the bill, and then it'll go to conference, and we'll see what comes out. But, you know, they cut the funding that would provide transportation expenses for military people for an abortion. I think they're probably something in there about diversity and, you know, the training that goes on with that. Different things that are culture war issues are thrown in there. Well, anyway, Nancy Mace said, I will use the euphemisms, a-holes. She said a lot of the Republicans are being a-holes about this, and they're making it hard on the Republicans that are coming from moderate districts to just put these things on so everybody has to re-defend themselves or re-litigate themselves in their home district over issues that maybe they don't feel that strongly about or they're more moderate about, let's put it that way, than the hard right Republicans that are putting these amendments on, and it just sort of is log rolling through Congress to get there.
One wonders, in my opinion, 90% of people who vote probably shouldn't be, because they don't know the issues and they don't know what's going on. If your Republican representative or senator, whatever the situation may be, is voting the way that you want them to vote 80% of the time, or your Democrat senator, then what difference does it make, really, what party they belong to? They don't control the party apparatus. They probably have very little effect on that. 435 drunken sailors in the House, after all. But people will vote. It's oftentimes they'll just pick a party and vote that total ticket all the way up and down. It's the rare person that picks and chooses between the two, trying to find the best candidates. Now, mind you, that's not even the easiest thing to do. But if you're looking at voting behavior or something like that, then perhaps that makes more sense than most.
Well, you know, people say I don't vote for the party; I vote for the person. I don't vote for the person. I vote for the constituency that's going to get the things that I want. But we'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk about someone that got something he didn't want, and that was a third indictment.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News update. New data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection shows illegal crossings jumped over 30% last month. South Carolina Senator and 2024 Republican presidential hopeful Tim Scott touts his policies on Fox News and says a crisis on the border is preventable.
If we finish the wall, use technology, fire Joe Biden, and hire me, I will be the president that finishes the wall and takes seriously the opportunity to save tens of thousands of Americans from the drug of fentanyl.
The economy added 187,000 jobs last month. That's fewer than many economists were projecting. And tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is set to be just over $1.2 billion. Tim Berg, USA News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reins.
And I'm Mark Edge.
You had to think about that for a little bit right there.
Sorry, I was kind of swallowing.
I thought you were going to reveal your middle name or something like that. Would have a real blockbuster story to lead with. I mean, we have a blockbuster story. And that, of course, is the trifecta for former President Trump of being indicted again, this time on something, I guess everything has its own seriousness to it, especially if it can put you in prison. But on Tuesday, former President Donald Trump was charged with four felony counts related to his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. The indictment accuses Trump of, quote, conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. It is the third in time he's been criminally charged since leaving the White House. His lead attorney on the case, John Lauro, appeared on Fox News and laid out a strategy. Lauro said that the prosecutor would be required to, quote, prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Donald Trump believes these allegations were false. Well, that's what he says, but that really isn't what the prosecutor has to prove. Now, we'll go into some of the details about what the prosecutor alleges, but just to even the left-leaning media jumped on that narrative. Of course, Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends says, oh, you can't get inside his head. And I'm speaking of Donald Trump. And the co-host, Ainsley Earnhardt, said to prove Trump actually believed that he lost because you're allowed to question an election, which her syntax was a little messed up there. But anyway, the National Review jumped on that, too. They got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, yada, yada. Even the Washington Post claims that that's a threshold question, whether Trump knew that the false things he said were false. Axios, another left-leaning, said that, quote, proving that Trump pushed theories of voter fraud that he knew were false will be key to prosecutors' efforts. Even the New York Times said establishing that Mr. Trump knew he was lying could be important to convincing a jury to convict him. There will be a burden to prosecutors to prove definitely that Trump knew fraud claim. So we have on the left and the right of our mainstream media, or at least the well-known media, this idea that you have to prove that Trump knew that his claims were false, whether you want to agree with that premise or not that the claims are false. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the law, Mark. If you have a bank account and you believe that there's $5,000 in your bank account, but the bank says, no, you have $0 in your bank account. And darn it, you believe it, Mark. You know you have $5,000 in that bank. Absolutely. They are not giving you your $5,000. And you go take a gun and you go get your $5,000. Well, the law you broke was bank robbery. And it doesn't matter how justified you were in thinking that they messed up and you really had $5,000 that they weren't giving to you, the law that you're charged with doesn't have anything to do with what you believed or didn't believe. It's how you acted. So the charges that are against President Trump is, even if you believe you won that election, the prosecutor is saying you're not allowed to do these things. There is another course of action that you could follow that is a legal course of action.
I think the prosecutor's got a long row to hoe here, because you're absolutely right. It's not about what anyone believes, Trump or the prosecutor. Like, it's of what they can prove to an unbiased jury. By the way, I think juries are the stupidest system for determining someone's guilt or innocence. I mean, why in the world would you want a panel of 12 ignoramuses about the law to determine? But nonetheless, that's what he's going to have if it ever makes it that far. And frankly, this seems very much like, passionate Democrats bringing charges against Trump in the hopes that it knocks up his unfavorability rating in order to keep him from winning. And, you know, there's all kinds of political games here. But this guy, ultimately, like, proving whether or not Trump, we've already had, senatorial hearings or whatever, House hearings on this. We've had the Congress critters have all gotten together and they've given their bloviated opinions, criminals, every one of them. They're not going to be able to prove that Trump was trying to start a riot. There's certainly little bits of information that make it feel that way, but there's lots of bits of information that's like, you know, we're just going to march on Washington and tell them what we think and stuff.
That's what you think this is about. That part of it.
The marching on Washington?
Yeah. The
I don't have an opinion. I mean, you know, like, I think that Trump was a sore loser, but I don't think that's, I don't think that's a convictable offense. I don't think Trump should be president because he's too old, but I don't think that Biden should be president either. I would like some choice that's not a crooked, old pervert. But it looks like I'm going to get that again.
Well, you may be able to skip the pervert part.
Which one? The guy that molested the senatorial staff member, or the one that got peed on by a Russian hooker?
An allegation.
And so is the peed on by a Russian hooker. Biden sniffs kids, and that's not an allegation.
I was talking actually more in the generic. You're always going to get an old guy, and you're always going to get a level of rascalianness.
Because sociopaths run for office, and the biggest sociopaths run for the biggest offices. I think I could ask for somebody who is
narcissist.
Narcissism is a form of sociopathy. Is no longer a clinical term, so one can just bandy it about.
Let's get back. You're focusing on the storming of the Capitol and the crux of the indictments. Is that correct?
Trump was not carrying a Confederate flag at the front of this, so he has plausible deniability that people went farther than he wanted them to.
All right.
That's my stance.
So I could approach this from that point too, but let me go to something that.
And I would also say that by the looks of it, Trump's unfavorability rating has changed lightly to none. I mean, you know,
All right. So let me address what you said. As far as the proving to the jury that Trump didn't truly believe that his claims were true, that he knew that they were false. Mm-hmm. That's how it's framed. Although it's not critical on whether the law was broken or not, it is important in trying to shape a jury sentiment.
Sure.
You know, if you could put that in their brain, they're going to be more inclined to find him guilty of the conspiratorial acts. But
hold on. Like, we got to stop here for 1 second. You got to remember that a president can't break the law. Now, I'm not talking from a legal standpoint, because Trump certainly has been indicted 3 times, and we can see this. But, you know, I mean, George Bush Sr. bombed a civilian population in Panama. No one cares. No one even remembers. You know, we weren't at war, and it was a war crime. Right? Clinton fires a cruise missile at an aspirin factory.
Well, he killed civilians. True.
Yep, bombed thousands.
You could, as far as being a crime, it would be in the International Criminal Court, you could try him there. I think under the way our current laws are in the U.S., I don't know that you could bring a case against him on that. But we're going down another path, and we're not staying on the issue at hand.
I think the issue at hand that I'm trying to point out is that I believe these are politically motivated charges, and that post-election they will evaporate. Trump's been exonerated again and again through committees and, you know,
it's
Congress.
He's not exonerated on this.
Not on this.
No, and I think my observation over the last years on this is there was a conspiracy, and it goes much broader than the storming of the Capitol, although that was a conspiratorial effort also, and there's testimony that is at least evidentiary, if I said that with the proper number of syllables, evidentiary to this. But let me take a step back onto some of the other issues. Let me actually say the indictment alleges that he participated in 3 conspiracies: obstructing the process by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government. You might think that that was referring to the storming of the Capitol, but that's no. Only a component.
Yeah,
it also in the indictment is obstructing the January 6th congressional proceedings specifically. But the way the results are collected and counted and certified, that includes other things, also interfering with the right to vote, to have one's vote counted. But where this all comes down, and I'm curious as to how you can reconcile this with what you're saying, is the efforts that John Eastman in the Department of Justice did for President Trump on this, with a memo that he created that got circulated through the administration to favorable members of Congress and also to state legislators. So how do you not see that as a conspiracy to overturn the election and not seat the electors from the states?
That's what parties do. You don't think there were memos that yes, they do. The Republicans have been gerrymandering and changing districts for decades.
That's not the same thing.
the Democrats are getting out people that are, you know, to vote that are dead. I mean, this is just...
No, none of those things that you say have anything to do with what I just said.
What I'm saying is
to
that,
me what,
well, you denied what I said, and I'm just pointing out that this is what they do.
So let me simplify the question and narrow it down.
Okay.
How would you describe the process that they were going to replace the electors with? The electoral college, how they were going to replace the electoral...
I'd call it scheming. You know, but it just sounded like a bunch of fantasy. Oh, the vice president needs to not certify this. We'll put up new electors and all that stuff. Look, if people in the White House have been coming up with alternative theories for a long time. What's an integrity combatant?
This, Mark.
What's that?
They acted on this.
So did George Bush Jr. when he called people picked up in a non-legal war enemy combatants rather than POWs, and then treated them as though they were criminals within the United States. And nobody cares. Presidents break the law all the time and call it a unique legal theory.
This was an attempt to overthrow the election, not just like in, say, Richard Nixon gets cheated out of the 1960 election by John Daly jiggling the vote counts in Chicago. It's not Gore versus Bush, where they're fighting over how the electoral process carried out in Florida and who could game the system more. This was a decision to overturn the process of the election. And I'm only focusing on the one part because I suspected that we couldn't get past this because it's too much of a conspiracy, but there's too well documented to ignore it. This comes into the fundamental point. They said, we're going to get different electors. Well, the states had already certified the electors that were coming to vote in the Electoral College. So they had to go to the state legislators that were favorable to them to find people that would stand up as alternative electors, even though there was no process to do that. And then they manufactured those lists and they put them in the hands of congresspeople and senators that were favorable in Washington, D.C. when the Electoral College was going to be certified. And they were ready, standing by with those other electors, and they were going to move to do this. I have other things here that I can go to, but I'm just trying to keep this as narrow as we can, because there was other similar attempts to stop the count that was going on by Ted Cruz and others to put a hold on the process. Now, those slates of electors were there. The idea that President Trump scheduled that rally on the time the vote was counting was just a coincidence or a theater when he wanted to go and lead the people into Congress. There's quotes from Giuliani saying he's going to look so strong when he does this. He was going to interrupt that, and it was the Secret Service that wouldn't let him proceed on that. There's testimony on that. There's video of him in the limo arguing with the Secret Service when he wanted to leave it. His own words on the platform was, I'm going to lead you to the Congress. I'll be marching with you.
So his idea is to show up at the event, kind of Dustin Hoffman, Elaine! Elaine! Just as the wedding's going off. She turns, she sees him up there, she realizes she loves him and leaves the dupe at the altar and goes with the guy, creating a generation of stalkers, right? This is the moment that Trump imagines creating.
I don't know why you want to keep putting up different scenarios from some other movie. No, what happened, they had the electoral slates already prepared. This was a months-long process that they were doing, and they were conspiring around the country in favorable state legislatures to have the alternative electors. They wanted to disrupt the process so that the the election couldn't be certified, and then they were going to come forward with the favorable members of Congress and the Senate and move to hold the process and not allow it. And then they would tie up the process with these fake electors, and there's a paper trail on all of this, Mark. They started with Eastman, and then it circulated out, and then the conspiracy built around it.
Well, you build a wonderful case. The prosecution ought to hire you for their situation. It looks like they've got to convince 12 mouth-breathing ignoramuses that have many months to spare to listen to the rambling tropes. And I'm sure the swift justice's swift sword will probably find out in 4, 5, 6 years what's going on. Oh, I think Trump will be dead.
You know, I don't want to interrupt our train here because we've got it moving, but maybe later in the show, there is an interesting theory about mouth breathers. Yeah. So I just focused on that part there, but there's co-conspirators. There's 6 co-conspirators in this indictment. One appears to be Jeffrey Clark. He was the man Trump wanted to make attorney general, who intended to use the military to quell the protests and was urging President Trump to use the Insurrection Act to move forward that, the insurrection of 1807, which permits the military to enforce domestic laws invoking martial laws. So we have that. That's much bigger and broader than what the things that...
That sounds like a John Adams thing. He sure did like that kind of
stuff. Yeah. Ted Cruz... John Eastman is the co-conspiracy, but he wrote to Ted Cruz, asking him to get on the floor of the Senate, a 10-day emergency audit and vote against the certification. Eastman wrote to Pence's lawyer, this is the paper trail, to beg him to get Pence to adjourn Congress for 10 days to allow the legislatures, what I was telling you, the favorable state legislators, to allow a full forensic audit. It was all about delay. If we were talking about a third world country and the president that lost the election was going to hold a big rally, say in the capital of Brazil or Argentina or something like that, when the new president was going to be installed, would we doubt that that loser was going to try and stop the procession or the proceedings? You know, I when it first was announced that the rally was going to be held on January 6th, you know, what was that, a month and a half ahead of time? I was like, Some stuff is going down. This isn't something that just happens like this. There's more to this than this. And while this was going on in TV, and you know, that was plus 2020 with COVID and all, that was great stock trading time and options trading time. So I'm on my computer all the time trading that year. Great, mm-hmm. Great year for that. I saw when Trump said, I'm going to lead you, I sold out of everything. And the market crashed for just a couple hours, and I bought back in at the end of the afternoon. So I profited from it. But
so you're reliving your moment in time.
I was calling my friends that traded, and I said, you better get out right now, because this is going to hit the fan in a matter of minutes, and it did.
Well, I was in Saipan at the time, the U.S. Marianas, enjoying not having to think about elections at all. And what I thought was, well, Trump's a big guy who is very good at rallies. This is what he does, right? Like, this is his strong suit, and people go to their strong suits in times of crisis. His intention is to have a rally that is in competition with the inauguration, and his victory, at the very least, will be attracting more people to his rally than they had at the inauguration. He's going to, you know, fill the stadium or whatever it is, and that would be in and of itself a victory. Now, what one could be imagining when one was imagining leading these people into the halls of Congress, I would not care to speculate. But you know, there's, all I'm saying is that, rich people don't get convicted because they get the very best legal defenses. And Trump is gonna get the very best legal defense. The likelihood of him being convicted of this seems low, and it all seems like political theater to me.
All right. Well, I don't think we can carry this too much farther because we have something even more important in the next hour is the UFO hearings.
And yes, very important.
The electoral things will be moot when the aliens land and harvest.
I, for one, welcome our new alien overlords.
Yes. I will. I'm ready to roll over on all the other humans.
This is something that went on in the Marvel Universe, right? Like the Skrulls came to take over.
Yes. I just wonder what they want from us and why we aren't making money off it before they take it from us. Maybe we are. So I think I have time to tell you the mouth breather anecdote.
Okay.
First off, there is a assertion that people are getting uglier. And part of that is because the jawlines are receding. And the jawlines are receding, so you know, strong jaw is considered attractive.
Sure.
And a
or covered by subcutaneous fat, one of the two.
Is not considered that. People are breathing through their mouth too much, and the jaw is not getting developed, and that's why we don't have strong-jawed people anymore, and also receding teeth. So you could be one of the last generation to remember strong jaws, Mark, or maybe your offspring. And then from soon, we will
Why are people breathing through their mouth?
We'll do a bunch of chinless, hairless apes that are walking the planet. No wonder the aliens want to remove us from their line of sight. You're listening.
Why are people breathing through their mouths, Henry?
Raise more to come.
Okay.
We don't get sucked up into the outer space.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.